You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, El Nino finally flexes his muscle on the West Coast. If a terror attack happened right in the middle of your visit to a public space, do you have an advance plan to escape? Do you even think about that when you're going to the movies or a concert or the mall? An expert joins us live. Our travel guy has the top travel destinations for the new year. Is yours on the list? Plus, Americans are packing up, selling the house, and moving elsewhere. We'll tell you where. Joining me today in the studio is a man who is keeping his eye on the movement of big muscular guys who celebrate when they score. It's Chris Martin.
Phil, the NFL's regular season is over, and there's one question everyone wants answered.
What's that?
Who's coming to L.A.?
Oh. All right, good. If you listen to this program on iTunes, we thank you a lot for doing that, but please do leave a comment and a five-star review. You help the show when you do that because the folks over at iTunes continue to read your comments and notice your five-star reviews, and they will feature this show if we get enough of them. So keep up the good work. Thanks for that. And Happy New Year, Chris.
Thank you, sir. Happy New Year to you.
Big plans for the new year.
Oh, yeah.
Always got them, always have them, always try to make sure that they all happen, and we'll see how that goes.
So far, off to a good start. Although, for me, New Year's didn't start, my official attempt at being good on New Year's didn't start until after Sunday.
Oh, I see.
Right, so, because I was out all weekend, and you go, okay, well, any New Year's resolution, you can't start on actual New Year's Day.
No, so there's a little buffer zone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. January 4th.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. The official start date for
so
most
you've been,
of us.
So you've been clean and wonderful ever since then.
I have. Yeah, I've got 2 days now under my belt.
Wow. You're practically recovered.
Yeah, mostly I'm slowed down, though, because I was up in Big Bear, which is a local ski resort here in California, for New Year's, and I fell on the way down the hill going as fast as I could down one of the runs, and I'm pretty sure broke my elbow.
But you're not taped up or anything?
No, but I can't extend it forward. I've learned to deal with it. It's not broken, but I'm pretty sure that I gave myself some form of tendonitis or tennis elbow or whatever the guys like Roger Federer get when
you
they
put a crack
swing
in it. Probably
I did something bad.
Yeah,
it's not good.
Left or right?
It's my right one,
and you're so right-handed.
I'm right-handed, and I have to just keep it at a 90 degree angle. If it's at a 90 degree angle, life is good. If I go to extend it, that's when I have problems. It's something like literally deep down inside the elbow.
So if I come at you, it should be with a left hook, and then you're done.
Right now, you could take me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Any other day, it'd be tough.
Good to know.
I'm hoping that a week of taking it easy on it's going to help it recuperate.
Yeah. All right.
Back to normal in no time.
No ice? Nothing? Like. Yeah.
No, I did. I did a little bit of ice therapy, a little bit of heat therapy. Of course, I did some ibuprofen therapy.
Uh-huh.
And now all you can do is wait. You know, it's getting a little better each day. I get a little bit more range of motion each day.
Yeah.
With a little bit less pain. So
all right.
We'll make our way through it.
All right, good. Let's get the show started, shall we? Oh, wait, we already did that. Let's get to the news. The big news is, and we've been waiting for this for since the 1990s, when the Rams, who left Los Angeles first, the Raiders or the Rams?
You know, it's a good question. I know that those guys were there around the same time.
Because the Rams are here 91, 92, I think, was their last season, if I'm not mistaken. And here, by that, I mean this show does emanate from Los Angeles County in Southern California. So we've been without a football team since the early 90s, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And the end product of that is there are a lot of people like me who just could give a crap about the NFL because we don't have a team to root for.
Yeah.
And so it is interesting, if not exciting, to know that there's a glimmer of hope, and that glimmer is getting brighter, that we could very well have a team, nay, multiple teams here in Los Angeles in a matter of time. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I don't even think that it's a glimmer of hope. I think at this point it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that there will be at least one team coming to Los
Angeles. I hear you saying that, but after decades now of being promised a team and a stadium and seeing it go by the wayside for one reason or another, I'm completely jaded.
Yeah, and that you expect that to happen. You become dismayed after that carrot is just waved in front of your face for too long and you never get a bite of it. But
so show me something.
Well, I'll tell you this. the first day, Sunday was the last day of regular season football. That means the first day that any team that wanted to could file for relocation to L.A. was Monday. And the San Diego Chargers, the Oakland Raiders, and the St. Louis Rams were waiting at the door like it was Black Friday sales. And they busted through to make sure that they got to sign for relocation.
They all filed
for relocation.
Wow.
That's right.
Raiders, Rams, Chargers, all potentially coming to Los Angeles.
Well, and there's two possible combinations from what they're saying. There's the Rams that have developed a site in Inglewood, which we've talked about before, and then the Chargers and Raiders working together to build a stadium, a joint stadium in Carson.
Carson, California.
That's right, Carson, California. And by the way, any team or teams that may or may not be selected will have to pay a $550 million relocation fee to the NFL.
Now, is the downtown Los Angeles plan and the city of industry, for those of you who are out of the area, I mean, you're hearing all these towns like Carson and industry and Inglewood that you may perhaps you've never heard of before. But
well, Inglewood's always up to no good, so we know that one.
Los Angeles is a rather large urban area with all sorts of suburbs. And so the city of industry is about as far outlying as you can get in the L.A. County area. It's, or in fact, straddles the next county over. But it is crisscrossed by three different major highways, freeways, we call them here.
One of the reasons why they like the location, right?
Yeah, but now I don't hear you mentioning that. And then downtown Los Angeles, which is where the Lakers and the Clippers and the Los Angeles Kings all play at Staples Center. Most people have heard of that place. There's talk about putting in they have been talking about putting in a football stadium right next door to that in the downtown Los Angeles area, right amongst the skyline. And there are three freeways that encircle the downtown area, but they are already completely parked. I use the word parked on purpose because they are big parking lots. The three freeways.
Mm-hmm.
There's no movement on those freeways during rush hour.
One of the reasons why they're not going to put a team there.
Yeah. All right. So is that a conclusion that the NFL has reached?
It's going to be one of the two. Yes, it will either be the Rams going to Inglewood or the Raiders and Chargers going to Carson. Now, I imagine that there could be some sort of variation of that. In other words, maybe all three teams actually do come to Los Angeles. I think that that's a possibility, albeit a slim one. But we'll find out a little bit later this month because the relocation meeting will be held January 12th, really just barely more than a week from now.
Bring them on, don't you think? Because when you go to the East, I mean, think about how close so many of the markets are when you get to the East. I mean, they have two teams in New York, and then they have...
No, they have three teams in New York. Yeah, the Giants,
the Jets.
Jets, and Buffalo.
And, well...
Buffalo's in New York, right?
Yes, but it's... That's...
Not New York City.
That's a full day's drive.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, they're in the same state. Yeah, you're right.
But you can get to they play in Jersey, right? Which team plays in Jersey?
Neither of them. I think that or both of them. They built that new MetLife Stadium, and now both the Jets and Giants play out of the same stadium. I'm not sure if it's in Jersey or if it's in New York City. I think
They used to play in Jersey, it's real close to Philadelphia from Jersey, so you have those two teams relatively close.
Mm-hmm.
And then the New England team isn't all that far away. You can drive in a day to
Boston, Mass. Right up the road.
Right. You can get up there in a hurry. And so there are a handful of teams that are real close to each other up there in the East. And so why not have three teams here in Southern California? Again, it's a stretched out expanse of land out here in Southern California. And from Carson to Inglewood, in rush hour traffic, it's a 90-minute drive to go about 12 miles.
Yep. And get ready to sit in some traffic on Sunday on game days. If you live around there, might be time to look into some new location.
Are any
housing.
Of these three teams, Chargers, Raiders, Rams, in the playoff scenario?
Not a one of them.
No?
No.
So they got time on their hands?
All three of them do.
Who's in the playoffs?
Oh, good question. You know
well,
what?
Don't answer now, that until we come back. That's next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're back here on Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we're talking about the NFL and the playoff scenario. It's all set, and who's in, Chris?
Well, I would know this intimately because I spent the vast majority of Sunday just watching football on Red Zone, which is such a great package, great program that
yeah,
you can get.
Sure. I mean, you just watch little clips of each game, right?
That's it. It jumps around, and it just brings you to the games that have somebody in scoring position. So you're constantly watching someone try to get into the end zone or kick a field goal or big breakaway plays, things like that. So it's constantly exciting. And for those of us that know or don't know, the football National Football League breaks into two divisions, the national side and the NFC and AFC. In the NFC, the Green Bay Packers will face the Washington Redskins, who are kind of a surprise team, and the winner of that game will face Carolina, who's on a bye this week.
Oh, by the way, did this happen, speaking of the Redskins, did this happen at Texas Stadium or whatever it is that the Dallas Cowboys Stadium is called? Well, one of the Redskins players was gravely hurt, and they had to bring out the golf cart and take him off the field. And while that was happening, the Dallas Cowboys fans started a wave. Did that happen?
I didn't see it. If it did, they don't show that on Red Zone. They don't show disgraceful moments like that.
Yeah.
They just show people scoring touchdowns.
Well, if that did indeed happen, disgraceful is the right word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like celebrating someone's traumatic injury.
Yeah. Shame on those fans if that indeed happened. If it didn't, I'm sorry for bringing it up.
Shame on those fans for multiple reasons, that just being one of them.
For being Dallas fans?
Why not? Yeah.
All right.
Have a screw loose. Okay, the other NFC battle will be the Seattle Seahawks going into Minnesota to face the Vikings, and the winner of that game will face the Arizona Cardinals the following week. Excuse me, just shut off my mic.
Yeah.
In the AFC, Kansas City Chiefs will be going to Houston, Texas, and the winner of that game will face the Denver Broncos, and old man Peyton, who seems to have some sort of revival going on after getting back in the game after the first half on Sunday. And finally, in the AFC, the Pittsburgh Steelers will go into Cincinnati to face the Bengals. The winner of that game will face the New England Patriots, the juggernauts of football, the following week.
Are they favored again?
Who?
The Patriots?
We won't know until that game. But the Patriots, the Broncos, the Cardinals, and the Panthers all have a bye this Sunday.
Yeah.
So they will wait another week. And
gives them an advantage.
Yeah, and the guys in Vegas won't handicap those games until the team gets there.
Yeah.
But most likely, yes, the Patriots will be favored, although they did lose this weekend again to the lowly Miami Dolphins, who didn't even have a chance at the playoffs.
Right. Okay. All right. Very good. Well, I'm not rooting for any of them, but I'll watch the Super Bowl.
You don't? I thought you liked the Seahawks for some reason. Are you a Seahawks fan?
No, I'm not.
You are not.
I'm not a football fan because I don't have a team and have not had one for 26 years now.
Yeah. Well, but hey, you know what? You have hockey.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. I will root for a hockey team.
Yeah.
But almost all of my adult life, I have not had a football team. I was a huge football fan before the age of 21. Huge. Mm-hmm. I knew every player in the league. I couldn't name you three right now.
Yeah. It's a lot to get involved with at that level.
Peyton Manning?
You know him. Tom Brady, of course.
Larry Zonka.
Good. Not bad for 1960s football players. You want to keep going?
No.
Anybody else? Terry Bradshaw?
That's about it. Yeah, Terry Bradshaw. Yeah, he's not still there, huh? Merlin Olsen. He's a big player,
Merlin
right?
Olsen, yeah. Yeah. I think he's over there next to Lin Chuan.
Yeah. I think he's dead, frankly. All right. Fine. Then we're done with football?
We are done with football.
Okay.
Enjoy the playoffs, everybody.
Yes, please. And have a little extra guacamole for me on Super Bowl day. Now, today, man, it's the Super Bowl of weather on the West Coast. It's finally happened. A couple of shows ago, we were talking to a meteorologist about where the heck is El Nino. And I think that sucker woke up.
Yeah, big time. And we're seeing the effects of it. We live here in Southern California, so we're seeing overcast skies, a lot of rain. El Nino is that weather phenomenon that like warms up a bunch of the Pacific Ocean water and then takes it across the United States. It messes up weather patterns. And this week alone, California is expecting as much as 15 inches of rain in the northern section of the state. Just in the next 16 days, Phil, halfway through the month, we'll have 15 inches of rain, as much as 2 foot of snow in the high parts of the Sierra, which sounds good for drought conditions.
Yeah, that is
it?
Good because that adds to the snowpack, which is already at something like 1,000% of what it has been in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, we're putting together some record levels up there.
Yeah, yeah. And looking out the window here of our gorgeous LA radio studio, right on the edge of the water in the LA harbor. And it is just a haze of what looks like, it's hard to tell when you're looking out on the water whether it's raining. But it is hazy out there. Like, it's just a sheet of water coming straight down, isn't it?
It's hazy, it's windy, and it just looks like one of those days where you want to be curled up next to the fire with some hot chocolate, maybe watching a movie.
Getting an elbow massage?
Yes, I could use one of those for sure.
If you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Here in Southern California, we're expecting as much as 3.5 inches of rain this week. And
this is Southern California,
right? This is Southern California where we're at, and as much as 5 inches of snow in the mountains. You know, experts are trying to figure out exactly what our water reserves are going to be. Mm-hmm. They say that they can't officially know that until somewhere around early April.
Yeah, because the water has to soak in, get into the water table.
Mm-hmm.
Because, frankly, thanks to the Army Corps of Engineers back in the 1950s, California was more or less cemented down. And the water that rushes into the rivers, eventually when it gets into the urban areas, it hits the concrete, speeds up, and ends up in the ocean in a matter of 10 minutes and say bye-bye. We don't get to collect any of that water.
Yeah, we don't do a good enough job of collecting.
They're starting to rethink that and think, okay, it's time to put in some kind of collection process or whatever into the rivers so that we don't lose all of that water and it gets into the table, because frankly, we're out of water here in Southern California.
Right. And even with what we're getting this week and what's expected this year, Governor Jerry Brown and the rest of the people that help us to manage that situation say we will need several years in a row of this type of rainfall in order to overcome the drought situation that we're in. But we are having a great start.
Yeah.
So here we go. Fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. More, I mean, let's not forget there is a downside to this from all the fires that happened during the fire season in the middle of summer. Now you get a lot of corrosion on the hillsides. You get these mudslides. You get houses washing away. You get sinkholes in the streets. So positive and negative to everything. You want to get rain consistently, not all at once.
Yeah, yeah, right. Because, you know, there's no way to, you know, hang on to it.
Yeah.
It takes your yard away, first of all.
Yeah.
All your flowers that you just planted, down the street.
Which you were prepared for, though, right? You were telling me that you were prepared for the rain and
I prepared
your garden.
Yeah, I went out and I fed all my plants, and I put that sulfate of ammonia on my lawn. You know, the stuff that greens it up in a hurry?
Yeah, the good stuff.
But you got to water that in real good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figure after the sun comes out, a week after all this rain, I'm going to have nothing but flowers and lush green carpet-looking grass in the front yard.
You will be the envy of the entire neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well done, sir. Well played.
Too late. Probably already am. All right. But, you know, losing your posies in a rainstorm is kind of a first world problem, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the truth.
You know, because like elsewhere in the world, they get a little bit of rain and everybody gets diphtheria.
Right.
Yeah.
The hospitals fill up.
Yeah. And there goes a water buffalo, a dead one floating down oh, it's going to crash into my hut. You know, in the first world here, we've got bigger issues to deal with. We're very lucky that we deal with first world problems. I mean, you know, we totally lack any sense of perspective or self-awareness because of it, until we travel around and we see the problems other people deal with. But in a global way, we're lucky to have first world problems. And a new survey found that the most common first world problems are as follows. And we'll start with number 10 and work our way up. Wanting to log into an account but forgetting your password.
That is definitely a first world problem. I see where this list is going. I like it.
Yeah. Not being able to find the end of a roll of tape.
Yeah.
You know, that
where you're just scratching at it and scratching at it to find that part. That's
it happens to me with duct tape or strapping tape, you know, when you're going to strap up a box. Having a bad signal on your phone.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Right. Whenever you drop from LTE into 3G or something like that and your phone doesn't work. Why? Who knows? People who sell stuff door to door.
That is a first world problem?
Yeah.
But I don't get that one. Yeah. Well, can't you just shut the door on them?
Yeah, you can, but then you feel bad about doing it.
Get out of here.
Yeah. You don't answer the door. You think it's some guy casing out your house.
Right.
Who's going to come back later and break in and steal your stuff. Not having Wi-Fi.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it is. People who don't follow proper etiquette in lines. You're standing in line for half an hour, and a guy walks right up to the front and says, oh, I just have a quick question. And then all of a sudden, the customer service rep is helping that guy.
That is annoying, because when you are being courteous and standing in line and you see someone else cut, yeah. It's enraging.
Yeah. UPS or FedEx leaving a note that says they missed you instead of just leaving the damn package on your porch.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get that. Because the mail will leave the package, right? The U.S. Postal Service, right. They don't mess around like that.
Yeah, well, my UPS guy, he just launches it from the curb.
Does he? Does he kick it? Does he drop kick it to your door?
I think for style points, he'll drop kick it from time to time. It all depends on his mood. Getting stuck on hold with customer service.
Nothing worse, really.
Getting a call from an unknown number and not knowing whether to answer.
Eh.
And the number one first world problem that we deal with here on a regular basis, having a runny nose.
Hmm. Yeah.
We a bunch of bastards.
There you go. First world problems.
Here's some problems that we deal with in the first world. The news about the recent terror attacks, you know, Paris and San Bernardino, serious stuff here. You have to start wondering, what would you do if you were in the middle of an attack in a public space, a public place? How aware are you of your surroundings? Could you escape? What if you were forced to confront an attacker? Things to think about, and a counterterrorism and security expert has thought all of this through and will help you with it. When he joins us live next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Terror attacks in offices, concert venues, stadiums in the U.S. and internationally have made it clear that no one's personal safety is guaranteed. I think maybe you know that, you just don't think about it a lot. It's our nature not to think about that. But while we cannot live in fear, we can be prepared. So how prepared are you? That's the question of the day. Do you even know what to do? Let's get some expert advice. Joining us live is a retired Army colonel, a counterterrorism specialist who performs security assessments for companies internationally. He was also a member of the United Nations International Peacekeeping Forces that won the Nobel Peace Prize back in 1988. Colonel Robert Shawley, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you here. Very often when people say we should be prepared for, let's say, disaster, we get our house in order, literally our house. But with terror attacks, we're generally talking about public places like theaters or malls. So how in the world do you prepare for an attack in a situation with dozens, if not hundreds, of people around you who have different plans or likely no plans whatsoever?
Well, each venue or each scenario is a little bit different, but the primary thing, your best defense is your brain. That's the best weapon you have.
Okay, and now some people are coming in with a shortfall in that respect, but where do we start?
Well, first off, you have to understand, you know, okay, what kind of a threat environment am I in? And you need to know, okay, am I going to prepare myself for a home invasion, burglaries, something against me as an individual, or am I going to prepare myself for something that's a little more in the public venue like a shopping mall? Most of us do, in fact, go shopping. And I guess the only way to really protect yourself from that sort of scenario is to increase your online shopping. I'm sure that eBay and Amazon and FedEx and UPS would appreciate that.
Well, that's an easy way out. I mean, but what you're talking about is a little like what we do every day on the roads when we're defensive drivers.
That's exactly right. You have to be aware of your environment. Now, this is getting to be somewhat of a cliche, but you've literally got to be aware of what's going on around you 360 degrees.
Yeah.
Most of us, when we're in a car, we'll take a look at the front view in front of us, and the rearview mirror, sometimes the side mirrors. But when you're walking in a mall, you really have to know who is around you at 360 degrees. And let's just take an example. You're going to the mall this afternoon, and you're looking for a particular item that you want to purchase. So you go in one exit or one entrance at that point, and you start looking around, and you know where the store is, and there's a lot of people around. At this point, all you're focused on is finding that particular piece of equipment or whatever it is you're going to purchase, and if you're a male, you're going to buy that and leave.
That's right, exactly right, because we're efficient in that way, and we have tunnel vision when we get into that store. Find it, buy it, get home and use it.
If you're a lady, on the other hand, you are going to be a little more...
distracted?
Well, you're going to take a look at a lot more things.
Yeah.
And you're going to start checking off, okay, I need a gift. Somebody's birthday is coming up. Oh, there's a neat little thing that I could get for Christmas for so-and-so. So you're going to be a little distracted, but you can still do all that, but you still have to know certain things. And number one, you should know where your exits are.
Okay, good. That's a good start.
You know where you came in, but by the time, if something were to happen, you may be a long ways away from that.
Yeah.
So you always have to know your environment of exactly, okay, what's going to be my actions if something happens, like a shooter scenario?
Mm-hmm.
And law enforcement now is suggesting that the best things to do is run at your first option.
Yeah.
Hide is your second option, and fight is your third option. The third option is really not a great option.
Yeah, because usually you're not armed in a comparable way with the attacker.
Exactly. They'll have long guns sometimes, or they'll certainly have more rounds and more magazines than you're going to have. And there's a certain set of mind, or a certain mindset that you have to have before you ever even consider getting involved in a firefight with somebody.
And tossing that lovely chiffon number at the face of the attacker is not going to do any good.
That's right.
Yeah. And after all that shopping you've done,
it's not going to help it either.
Right. Okay. Good.
So what you do is know your exits. Now, a lot of people don't think about, you know, they think about exits and entrances to the mall, and they think about the primary entrances. But a lot of people forget that if you have a store that's on the outside of the mall, mm-hmm. they will have an exit to the outside.
That's right, where the delivery trucks come, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, if you are in a store that's on the inside of the mall, you're not in luck in that regard.
Although many of these malls, they've got the kind of a catacomb of connected hallways behind the stores that you can get inside there, but I don't know that you'd be able to find your way out necessarily.
Well, you need to know your environment.
Right. Sneak in there from time to time until security catches you. Yeah.
So at any rate, you need to remember that, you know, okay, each one of these stores on the outside of the mall is going to have a fire exit or where the products and shipping takes place. So if you can get out one of those doors, that's the best thing in the world possible.
Yeah, all right. Pretending to be a mannequin probably isn't going to do the trick.
That is not going to work.
Okay. Just want to make sure that's okay. Mark that off the list right there. Okay, good.
Now, the next thing is to hide. Now, you know, that's really not a great option either, except unless you can identify some places that are pretty unique. Washrooms are not a good place to go. It's a dead end.
First place they'll look.
That's exactly right. People will go in there. Then, so maybe a little store, and maybe if you take a look at the ceiling, and this is one thing that I recommend in offices, is take a look at what type of ceiling you have, because a lot of people have this acoustical tile in their ceiling. And if somebody were to get on top of a desk or some sort of elevation where they could knock out one of those acoustical tiles that are just laid up there on a framework,
yep,
it's indeed possible you could get up there and hide out and wait until, you know, the law enforcement.
And be tidy with that tile. And if you can't, I wouldn't recommend, and maybe you agree with this, sitting there above the store where you exited. Perhaps if you can get to the store next door, you'll avoid the shots ringing out into the ceiling because the attackers think that you're a sitting duck.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, see, I'm on board with the thinking here. I tend to think about these things, but I too get lost in the experience of shopping around. Okay, so exits, hide, and then what was left? Confront?
Fight is the third thing.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a concealed carry or if you have a weapon of some sort, then the best thing to do is really think hard before you get involved in a firefight with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
number one, if you pull out a weapon and start running off down to where the shots are fired or the excitement is happening, somebody else may well think that you are one of the bad guys.
Yeah.
So you need to be very, very concerned about who's around you as far as somebody else may be armed and indeed decide that, oh, there's one of the bad guys. I'll just take him out. He's waving a pistol around.
Yeah, yeah. What are the odds that you're going to be able to get other shoppers to join you in a mass confrontation? You get 10 or 15 people to rush a guy with a gun, you're more likely to take him down, aren't you?
Well, you are. You can, in fact, get other people to start the feeling that there's no other way out. On the other hand, people have a tendency to freeze under circumstances like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a cheerleader is a pretty fast way for to get yourself shot as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that is, in fact, one of the ways that that can, in fact, do just as much good as anything.
Because right.
If you rush somebody en masse, they only have so many rounds. And if you can catch them while they're reloading, and depends on what type of weapon they have. If you catch them when they're reloading, and then they're going to hurry up the reloading, they'll make a mistake, and so there indeed is a possibility for success.
And your experience in combat, assuming you were on several tours of combat since you reached the level of colonel in your Army career, sir, and thank you for your service, in your experience, have you found that guys like here in our studio, Chris Martin, whose hands are considered lethal weapons, that if you do go up against a guy with a gun and all you are armed with is your hands, are you more or less likely to survive the confrontation?
Well, that is so dependent upon the situation, as they say. You know, if you can get inside the weapon itself, then chances are pretty good that if you have some training that you, in fact, can take the guy down.
Yeah.
Hook him in the eye, hit him in the throat, you know, twist his arm around until, you know, the gun is pointed back at him,
yeah.
Pull the trigger, you know, those sort of things. And if you've got some unarmed combat training, then, in fact, you are better prepared. But I certainly wouldn't jump out. You know, they tell you not to bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah.
Bringing your hands is not as good as a knife.
That's true. And if you are going to poke someone in the eye, the attacker in the eye, do it with some flair. Don't hold back. Do a full eye poke. Is that
exactly
correct?
Exactly right. Throw those thumbs right in there and flex them and pop those eyeballs out.
A pleasure to speak with you, sir. The imagery is wonderful, but it's all important stuff for us to think about and to be aware. 360 degrees in life, anywhere you go, always be ready. Robert Scholey, a retired Army colonel. Sir, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you very much for having me, Phil. I've enjoyed it.
Good. Thank you, sir. All right. So we're a little better prepared now, aren't we?
Yep.
Doing a public service.
That's advice I think all the listeners will heed.
Good. A new government rule requires commercial drivers of vehicles to electronically record their hours behind the wheel. Now, the government says this is designed to prevent driver fatigue, but what do these devices really record, and is this just a pilot program before the government, in the name of public safety, requires electronic monitoring devices on your car? That's next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, we want to explore some new technology out there that is, it caught my eye when I read about this. Let's bring in our next guest quickly now. It's Peyton Inge. He's an attorney with Chambly, Ryan, Kershaw, and Anderson, a law firm in Dallas, Texas. Mr. Inge, thank you very much. Tell me about this new rule that affects commercial drivers.
Well, there's a new rule out there that says in the next 2 years, the vast majority of trucks that you see on the road will have to use electronic logs, which automatically record the hours of service and things like that for the driver. So the drivers won't be able to use the old paper logs that they've been using for the last 75, 80 years.
Why is this necessary?
Well, you know, it's useful because, long story short, the old paper logs were relatively easy to manipulate. And as you have more and more traffic on the roads, there is a push to see a better capability to monitor the hours that the truck is actually being driven and to make sure the driver is complying with the hours of service.
So we don't trust the drivers. Is that it?
Well, that is it. That at the end of the day is it.
Yeah.
You've got folks on the street and whatnot that are terrified of big trucks and so it's for the driver's safety, and you see a lot of people just flat out don't trust them.
Yeah, all right. So what then, besides mileage, does the device actually record?
Well, what it does is anytime that truck starts moving, it'll convert from a stationary or off-duty status to an on-duty working status in most cases. So what it does is it records every mile the truck is working. In most instances, it will also record the location of the truck, down to the square city block at least. It'll show the miles driven. It'll show, in many cases, the RPM of the truck. Pretty much anything you can think of that would come across your dashboard on a car, speed, braking, that kind of thing, it'll record. But the actual logs themselves will show time on duty, time off duty, the time you've been sleeping, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I imagine most drivers welcomed this.
Well, some do, some don't. The big companies already use them for the most part. That said, 90% of the trucking industry in this country is small business oriented. I think only 2.5% of the companies you see on the road have more than 25 trucks.
So that'll save them, small businesses, some money, I would imagine.
It eventually will. You have to pay for the cost to have the system installed initially, but it will save the small businesses money in terms of fines and things like that.
Yeah.
But according to the federal government, one of the more important aspects there is that the reducing of paper logs will save the federal government money in terms of having to review these different logs.
Yeah. Now, folks who say they value their liberty and their privacy and all these sorts of things, at least the vocal ones about that, will see this technology and say, "Hey, mister, is this just a baby step to someday requiring all drivers to be monitored in the name of safer roads, lower insurance premiums, or less crime?"
It'd be a pretty big leap from the commercial trucking industry to see that type of regulation in private automobiles. It would take 50, 60 years, I would think, at most, at a minimum. But at least in the commercial vehicle sector, this is pretty much going to be the rule of the land from here on out.
How long do the commercial truckers and agencies have to comply?
About 2 years.
Okay. From today?
2 years from, I think it was December 15th. Don't quote me on that specifically, but it's about 2 years, give or take.
Mm-hmm. And there's a fine if they don't comply?
There is a fine. I don't recall what that amount is, though.
Yeah. Now, in practice now, with the companies that have been using these for a while, has it been deemed a success?
Most of the big companies love it because it has reduced their expenses to some degree. You don't have to go out and buy these $2 or $3 paper logs, and you don't have the headache of having a big stack of paper logs in the truck. You don't have to have people sit there and count it. It's all done by computer because it's automatically recorded, monitored, and things like that.
Yeah.
It has been relatively successful, and you've seen a reduction in the hours of service violations that the big companies have been charged with because they're able to monitor that stuff basically in real time.
Yeah. Now, from the trucking firm, two nefarious cousins move you. Have these guys figured out how to disable or alter the results that the device records?
Anything's possible, but when you're talking about a GPS locator, I'm not aware of anyone that has successfully figured out how to manipulate it. You can turn it off, but then if you get busted, you're going to lose your license or at least get shut down for a bit.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of any way to falsify a GPS record, and I don't know of any companies out there that have even hinted at it.
I bring up movers. That's an application that consumers might be interested in when the movers leave your point A en route to point B. and it takes them an extra couple of hours that you were not expecting it to take, can the consumer have access to the record and see, okay, fine, they drove to the girlfriend's house in another state before coming to coming to your house and billed you double for the mileage?
Well, you know, that's an interesting interesting concept. It certainly is, that capability is not there in the FMCSA regulations now, and it's not available from someone outside the company looking in at those electronic logs.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, you could have a cell phone or something in your stuff that's being moved, but
yeah,
you're not going to be able to access the logs on that truck yourself.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Interesting stuff. Technology is a wonderful thing. Peyton Inge, thank you so much for bringing it to our attention.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you're welcome. All right, so what do you think, Chris? Good idea?
Yeah, I wanted to. I was curious about what some of the activities that truckers were engaging in that led to the distrust and then to the invention of this type of technology. But you know, it's just what? It's just driving more miles than you probably should for more hours than you probably should, thereby leading to unsafe conditions on the road.
The conclusion is that fatigue leads to a lot of traffic accidents with big trucks.
And big truckers truckers are encouraged to put themselves in a position of fatigue because the more miles that they can drive in a shorter period of time, the more money they're going to make, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
So they just drive all through the night, sometimes night after night. No regulation on whether or not they've stopped and slept ate or all those things you need to do.
You remember what the very first music video was on MTV? I mean, you're just a whippersnapper.
I was just a little kid at the time. Yeah. I don't think I was watching MTV at the time.
It was Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles.
Know that song, though.
Yeah. Oh, Mike Stark, what was it, 1981?
Video Killed the Radio Star.
1979.
Early 80s.
Right around there. Okay.
So that's well before I was born.
So here's a question. Do you know what the first music video on MTV was that got played twice?
First music video that got played twice on MTV?
In the rotation. Right?
You would think it'd be that one. It's not that one?
No. There was a song. It was the fourth video played. It was also the 54th video played. It was You Better You Bet by The Who.
You Better You Bet?
First, there's some trivia that you can go into the office or go home to your wife or husband and say, honey, bet you didn't know this. What is it, wise guy?
So many great Who songs. And
You Better You Bet. Yeah, that's the one. Exactly. Maybe not one of the best Who songs ever.
I don't know. I don't think so, yeah.
That one, right? It gets in, it grates on your brain a little bit. If you're not a big Who fan, that's probably not your best song, right?
Not my favorite.
Teenage Wasteland. Now, if they played
that
a couple times.
Even Love Rain or Me.
Yeah, or Me. That's right. Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. So much more to come, including... what happens if you stop drinking for a month? There's a backlash against Uber. We'll tell you about that. And did you see them in the Rose Parade? What a bunch of disrespectful, classless lowlifes. That's right, classless lowlifes. We'll talk about these fools and see if you agree with me. Those stories and a whole lot more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we have for you this hour, the top travel destinations for 2016. Old Navy pisses off artists. What are they teaching at Stanford? And the migratory habits of humans in the United States. Sounds like we've gone all PBS on your head there for a second, but we have not, I promise. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Chris Martin is here. We'll get things rolling in this hour. And we've been talking on the program about the likelihood that your favorite band from the hair metal days of the 1980s, Guns N' Roses, will be getting back together in a reunion and doing so at Coachella. Now, this is a big Southern California music festival. And there's been an official announcement now, Chris. Has there not?
There has. The rumors are true. Guns N' Roses is reuniting to headlines this year's Coachella in April. The festival will cover two weekends with identical lineups, and Guns is playing on the Saturday nights of both weekends.
Oh. All right. Will they be on time? Or will they make the fans wait?
You would think at this stage of their lives that they would make sure that being on time is a priority.
So this is new version of Axl Rose, big, fat, and 30 years older, right?
Axl Rose, you got Slash,
yeah.
Bassist Duff McKagan.
Mm-hmm. Steven Adler on drums. Who have we left out?
There's no word yet on Steven Adler or Izzy Stradlin.
Oh.
Who's the guitarist?
So we're not sure Adler is up for the gig? We thought he'd cleaned himself up from his addictions and he's ready to go.
He could be there. There's just no official word on that yet. We know the big three will be there, Axl, Slash, and Duff. Now, we're just waiting to hear whether or not Izzy and Steven will be there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, they're not the only ones that are going to be at the festival. Why are they such a big deal? Just because they've been dismembered for so long?
Dismembered?
Dismembered. Isn't that what you would call it?
No, that's what you do when you have a rather sharp knife.
And you cut someone's arm off?
Yes.
Oh. That's, but they're members.
That's dismemberment.
They're members
they
of
were,
a band that
were
disbanded.
Oh. Yes.
Well, we'll go with that one.
No. Now, if you had a band that was dismembered, that would be something, wouldn't it?
That would be Def Leppard. Their drummer
exactly.
was dismembered.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
The other bands getting back together during this year's Coachella will be LCD Sound System.
Who?
I have no idea. LCD Sound System. They're reuniting
Are
after
they a big
five
deal?
Years. They're going to do Friday shows. I've never heard of them, so if they don't, usually if you don't make my awareness, then you're probably not that big of a deal.
Because you're pretty aware, but it doesn't necessarily mean. They might be the chiefs of some scene that you're just not into.
I think it might be one of the electronic dance music
Are
crazes.
You a big EDM guy?
I'm not, but it's becoming more popular, and Coachella's proving it because Calvin Harris is going to be the final performer
Who?
On Sunday nights. Calvin Harris?
Yeah.
You know who that is? That's I'm pretty sure that's Taylor Swift's boyfriend and the highest paid electronic dance music DJ on the planet.
Doesn't it make you think, man, had I just learned how to do that? These guys aren't all that talented, right? It's just a matter of sitting in your bedroom with your little duplex mixer and your two turntables and whatever it is that you're using these days, little sound enhancements and little drops, music drops and samples and all that sort of thing, and mixing it all together in a way that makes people dance and jump up and down and worship the skills that you lead them to believe that you have.
I was reading an interview recently with one of these DJs, these electronic dance DJs, who said it's really not that hard at all. He said his grandma could probably do it.
And he's right.
At this stage.
He's right. I mean,
and they're making tens of millions of dollars.
I've spun
traveling the world.
Records before. I mean, Mike Stark, he's spun records before. It's just a matter of being able to mix these things together.
There's no spinning records anymore
anyway.
No,
I know. It's
just putting
electronic.
Together on an audio program and playing it through. But just to put a close to Coachella,
yeah.
Other acts that will be included in the festival include Sufjan Stevens.
Hey, what?
M83, oh. Grimes, Run the Jewels,
yeah.
Major Lazer, Beach House, ASAP Rocky, Chvrches, Disclosure, Ray Surmerd, and Rancid. Haven't heard of one of those
Rancid.
Bands.
There's one Rancid. I recognize. Rancid.
There's some others. Ellie Goulding, Ice Cube. There's some names I know.
Okay.
I just wanted to read all the ones because...
I am
do you
such
know,
a grandpa.
Am I an old person now?
Yes, you are.
I must be, because I don't know any.
Come on, grandpa.
Holy moly.
Get with the program.
ASAP Rocky, spelt with a money sign as the S, by the way.
Kids these days.
Weird. Chvrches? That's not even a word.
How does it that spelled, Chvrches?
Chvrches.
That's the Chvrche.
Maybe it's something French.
Chvrche.
Run the Jewels. Who are these people? Guns N' Roses, I know that one.
Yeah. Now, if you're if you've got 1980s Axl Rose in your head, I do encourage you to Google Axl Rose before and after, and look at the before pictures. You know, good looking rocker dude from the 80s, and a distinctive look with the headband and the whole thing. And look at him today, And just be sure that you look now so that when you go to Coachella and you spend your $80 or $150 or $350, whatever it is for a day, that you are not shocked when he comes out on stage and you start screaming, "Where's Axl?"
What are the differences? Like the most glaring differences? Is his face swollen? That's what I picture.
It looks like he ate Steven Adler.
Okay, it looks like he ate the guitarist, all right.
Yeah. Oh, the drummer, Steven Adler.
Oh, Steven Adler, you're right.
Yeah, it looks certainly we're all a lot older than we were in 1988. But he did put on a fair amount of pounds, and he did reportedly have a fair amount of plastic surgery to his face that some people might argue did not go so well.
I haven't seen the pictures, but yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Plastic surgery goes bad, it goes real bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not pretty.
So just don't be shocked, and just remember that I told you to Google it first, before and after. All right? Okay, good. What else do you have? There's Coachella. Uber. People are taking Uber like crazy and having good reports, but what is this backlash against Uber?
This is one of those popular stories that comes out after New Year's. There's a handful of reports of people getting caught off guard by Uber's surge pricing.
What
this
is that?
New Year's.
What's surge pricing?
Surge pricing is basically when Uber charges more to encourage more drivers to hit the road. So so many of their drivers are being taken up that they raise their rates.
Yeah.
This means that if you're a driver, you now get paid more money. But as a consumer, you're also going to have to pay more money to the driver.
Is it a supply and demand thing
well? That's exactly what it is.
All right.
Some people were charged like 8 to 10 times as much as normal pricing for a ride. There was reports of somebody in Canada taking a ride that would normally cost them $80 and ended up paying somewhere around $600 for it.
An 80-buck ride, that's cross-county. That's a long drive, isn't it?
That's a long way. So, but this particular report was in Canada.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit more space to
you
traverse.
You take Uber? Have you taken
I
Uber
have
yet?
I have the Lyft app, actually.
Oh.
So
similar.
Lyft and Uber, yeah, almost the exact same thing.
Except Uber is spelled correctly and Lyft is not.
Right, Lyft is spelled with a Y, and Uber would only be spelled correctly if it was an actual word.
Well, it's a word not in English, it's a word in German.
Right.
Is it not?
Uber Schwanzen.
Yes, exactly. Mike Stark, our executive producer, do you take Uber?
I took Uber on New Year's Eve.
Oh, and that would be a supply and demand day where they might do the surcharges, right?
Under $20 both ways.
Round trip, under 20 bucks.
How many miles are we talking?
5-6 miles.
All right. Oh, well, that's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all.
New Year's Eve, you'd think that they might jack up the price and smack you for like $200.
I expected it, but it didn't happen. Wow. And they were there in 10 minutes.
You expected it. Did you expect it? Because Uber is saying that they are warning customers. They warn customers on the app before you actually book the ride. Did you see that?
I didn't get any warning because I doubt if there was a reason to warn me.
Yeah, because, we live in Southern California. There's so many people. Everybody with a car,
this is why
also has Uber as a part-time job.
Yet another reason why people flock to our part of town. And it's already getting too crowded by our standards. But when you look at it, city planners say, we could handle another 3-4 million people. What the heck?
Yeah, right.
That's why they come here, because you can get an Uber in 10 minutes. How quickly will a taxi come to your house if you call one?
Pretty quick. I mean, you'd be surprised. This whole Uber Lyft thing has really kicked taxi drivers in the pants.
Yeah. Yeah, they were on their heels. Now they're on their toes.
Yeah, they respond pretty quickly. By the way, Uber riders also know the price before they go on a ride. But apparently, it just catches a lot of people off guard. Still,
yeah. All right.
If they are in one of those surge price areas,
going to be a big year for movies, and I have a list of the 10 most anticipated movies for 2016. I'll read it to you next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, we're back here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. Our first show of the new year, 2016. Can you believe it? Makes you feel old. And it's a big year for movies. 2015 was a big year. Perhaps the biggest, box office-wise, but there are huge movies coming. Fandango recently conducted a poll to find out which movies people were most excited about for the new year. Here's the top 10 with their release dates. Starting with number 10, The Jungle Book.
I'd put that at number one.
Would you?
Personally.
April 15th.
I went and saw Star Wars recently. Glad that I did. Yeah. But The Jungle Book preview, while we were inundated with previews, that one looked the best to me.
Did it really? And yeah. It's live action,
most
right?
Intriguing, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Number 9, Zoolander, number 2. That's ahead of Jungle Book. February 12th.
Well, I don't always agree with these polls, yeah. But.
Let's see your La Tigra. Ready? Oh, yeah, look at that.
Like that one? I'm better at the Blue Steel.
Are you? Okay, good. Wait, let's see it.
Okay, fine.
X-Men Apocalypse. That'll be huge. That's May 27th. Independence Day Resurgence, June 24th.
The preview to that looked awful.
Really?
Oh, it looked terrible.
Oh, man. All right.
Go ahead.
About Star Trek Beyond? Did they show a preview for
that? They did. They showed a preview for that. Looked good.
Okay.
I like that one.
July 22nd. That's my mom's birthday.
I can tell a lot from a preview.
Yeah. Captain America Civil War.
That one looked good.
Yeah. May 6th. The upcoming untitled Jason Bourne movie, July 29th.
Mm, they did not show a preview for
that. No, they're keeping that under wraps. Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, March 25th.
All right. What number is that?
What number is it?
Yeah, didn't you say it was top 10?
It's number 3.
Okay, so yeah. We still have a couple more. I'm glad that one's not number 1.
Batman versus Superman. Now, they got in a fight, and one of them died in the comic books back in the day. But then somehow the one that died came back. Do you know which one died?
I think Superman dies,
yeah.
Which is totally ridiculous to think that Batman could kill
Batman's
Superman.
Batman's got all kinds of strange stuff in his tool belt.
He does, because in the preview, he's wearing some super suit, too. He looks like Iron Man or something.
Yeah, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, now comic book geeks are going to get all over me for this, but I believe that's when we started calling Batman the Dark Knight, is after he killed Superman.
Makes sense. He earned that title then.
Yeah. The Finding Nemo spinoff, Finding Dory.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on board with that?
Sure. I mean, everybody liked Finding Nemo. And I'm surprised it took so long to put out a sequel to that one, right? Makes you think that maybe they're going to do a good job with it.
Well, you know, Ellen DeGeneres has hit hard times, and she could use the money. So this, I'm happy for her that she's finally going to make a comeback here.
Yeah, good
for her.
She's
the voice of Dory, right?
I think so, yeah. And by the way, maybe why they held off so long.
Right, waiting till she hit rock bottom?
Waiting till she hit rock bottom, and then they could... Yeah. Help, you know, revamp her
tough
career.
Times for Ellen. So just pleased that this is going to work
thing.
Out nice. Yeah. And the number one, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, December 16, takes place shortly before the first Star Wars movie. So this is a prequel to the first Star Wars.
What? They're squeezing one in the middle of the...
We just had a Star Wars movie, and now we're getting another one in December. So a year later, we get the prequel to the first Star Wars movie.
The prequel to the first Star Wars movie, that's not even part of the next trilogy that J.J. Abrams is doing?
No, this is Rogue One. So this is the movie where you get to see Darth Vader getting it on with Luke's mom. Do we know who Luke's mom is?
Look, you know, I don't. They'll come up with some...
Star Wars geeks know, and they're going to get all over me for not knowing who it is. But when he says, Luke, I'm your father. Right?
Well, if they're going to get all over you for that, then they're really going to dislike me for saying that movie was cheesy and predictable. How do you like me now?
Yeah, I think you're part of the two main groups, the Star Wars folks who went to see the Star Wars movie.
It was a good movie. I don't want to completely tear it down or anything, but it just it wasn't super original.
No?
Yeah, didn't seem like it. You didn't go see it?
No.
Mike, you saw it. You disagree with me, don't you?
No, I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not overboard about it, but it was all right. It was a good movie.
Did you feel that there was a lot of recycled content from the previous movies in it? Which just adds to the nostalgia of it, though, I guess.
In watching it, I didn't feel that. And then I heard about all of that afterwards, and I go, oh, yeah, there is sort of a similarity there.
Yeah. I didn't dislike it. I was just trying to ruffle some feathers.
It's on my Netflix list on my queue, and I'm still catching up. You know what I watched this weekend? Clash of the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
Release the Kraken. That one?
Yeah.
And B-Movie.
B-Movie, that's the one.
The animated with Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, cool. That's where
I am on my Netflix queue. So we'll get around to seeing, what am I putting on the queue? Star Wars.
Star Wars is not going to be on your Netflix queue for like 9 months.
But they're all the movies ahead of it on my queue that I have to see first.
What about How to Make a Murderer? Are you watching that?
No.
You see what's going on with that in the news?
No, what's happening with that?
It's a documentary about a guy that, this documentary seems to portray this guy being framed by the government.
Yeah.
And it's on Netflix. And it's gone all the way to a point now to where the watchers, the viewers, mm-hmm. are banding together and they're asking the president to pardon this guy because the documentary is so well produced. But then the person that put him in jail or the government group that put him in jail are saying that there's key information missing. And Mike, you hear anything about this? No. Yeah.
Not a word.
It's How to Make a Murderer, something like that. It's getting a lot of traction in the news because of the controversy of, is this guy innocent? It's a real person.
It's an episodic documentary on Netflix.
Episodic documentary, 10 episodes, I believe. And each episode just leads the viewers to believe more and more that this guy is in prison for murder and is innocent.
Wow.
Yeah, good stuff.
All right. Okay, now I've got something for you here.
All right.
What happens if you stop drinking for a month?
I'm assuming good things.
Now, if you stopped drinking for a month, perhaps you would not have fallen on the snowboard slopes and not have injured, gravely injured your elbow.
Oh, I hope not. You have me worried now. But yeah, you're right. If I hadn't been drinking, I wouldn't have been going that fast.
Yeah. And was it your New Year's resolution to cut back on the drinking?
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Just better health in general.
Which means most people will have a dry January and then get back into it in February, around Super Bowl time. A study in 2013 had normal drinkers stop drinking for a month. They lost an average of 3.5 pounds, were less likely to develop diabetes, 1 month, and had lower cholesterol levels. They also slept better. You know, a lot of people think, hey, I can't sleep without a hot toddy or a little, something before I go to sleep. They found it easier to concentrate.
Yeah.
And lowered the amount of fat in their liver by an average of 15%, which is important because a fatty liver can lead to liver disease, and then you'll have to get dialysis and all that, and that sucks.
And this is only 1 month of benefits. Imagine if you kept going.
Yeah, 1 month. And a new study found that not drinking for a month can actually change your drinking patterns, too. 850 people agreed to stop drinking for a month. And 6 months later, the ones who followed through with it were still drinking significantly less than they did before they took part in the study. Only about 2/3 of them actually made it a month without drinking, though. Hmm. The rest couldn't do it.
Oh, they
couldn't last 30 days without a drink.
Fortitude. All right.
Yeah. I mean, stuff happens. And I need
like
a drink.
Like parties, yeah.
I need a drink.
Well, just you put yourself in social situations, it's difficult. That's what I think would be the most difficult part about quitting drinking.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when you're drinking, you talk about things like this. Phoenix is the only city to have had all 4 major pro sports teams play on the same exact day.
Phoenix. Or as I like to say, Phoenix.
Phoenix, yeah. No, on November 4th, 2001. It said 2011 on this, but we believe it's a typo. So we're going with 2001. Mm-hmm. The Arizona Cardinals lost a football game. The Phoenix Coyotes... or the Coyotes, is that how you pronounce that? The Phoenix Coyotes?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Lost a hockey game, and the Phoenix Suns lost a basketball game. But the Arizona Diamondbacks beat the New York Yankees in Game 7 to win the World Series.
I was there that year. I was graduating high school in Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix. So it makes up the... Winning the World Series makes up for losing those other 3 games.
Sure does. That's the year they had Randy Johnson, the strong left-hander, and they had Curt Schilling.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knew he was using drugs, but...
No, no. Mm-mm.
Won a World Series.
Were you a frat boy?
A frat boy? No. I was never in a frat house.
The polo shirt was designed so that the collar could be turned up to protect your neck from the sun when you're playing tennis. So frat boys who pop their collar actually got this one right.
What about the frat boys that wear two collared shirts? Have you seen this? And then they pop them both?
No, and double pop?
They do the double collared shirts and the double pop on the collars. Now, what? That is just ridiculous.
Yeah, or it's just lazy.
They look like a flower.
They figured they didn't want to take the other shirt off and put it in the wash, so just put a new shirt on top of it.
Throw one right over it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey, it's a new year. You know this, right? It's 2016. Hey, congratulations on realizing that. It's already January 5th. There are new places to visit and explore. Gary Warner is our travel guy, and he joins us next with the best 2016 destinations right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, here we go. And I mean go. Let's just get out and go somewhere. It's time to talk travel. And this time, we're talking the best destinations for 2016. Joining us is our travel guy, Gary Warner. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Phil. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Missed you last week, my friend. And I understand family tragedy averted because of your quick action.
That's right. We have we had our third of our emergency room visits last week, our third of the year. And then we had snow, and we had black ice, and we have a militias invading to the west of us.
That's
and,
right.
It's been quite a week. And then that lovely Oregon Duck football game. I mean,
my gosh.
Talk about disasters.
Where they were they were up 31-0, and then they ended up losing that game. Yeah.
Yep. So it's been an exciting week, and I'm ready for. The Scottish called, they have a holiday the day after January 1st called, I think it's pronounced Hogmanay. And it's become more of a party thing, but originally it was a thing where you're supposed to shut your door and get sober and rest up after the holidays. Yeah. And that's what I'd like to do.
All right.
Anyway,
have you gotten sober enough to do this segment?
Of course, Phil.
All right,
the idea that I wouldn't be sober.
No, you're a professional. I know that.
That's right.
All right. Now, we're talking about the best destinations. And aren't the best destinations for 2016 the same as the best destinations for 2015?
Well, what you usually do is there's usually some special things going on that, depending on your attitude, are either drawing cards or you know how you can reverse a magnet and it pushes you away?
Yeah.
So it just depends. There's some special events that are going on, anniversaries and things like that, that people who are really into these things would want to go to. There's going to be some let's go right into it. I think if we added your age and my age together, we'd be older than the National Park System.
I think we would be, yes.
We would be, which is going to celebrate its 100th anniversary this year. The actual birth date is back in August, is in August, but they're going to have all year long, they're going to have, it's National Parks year, lots of special events, extra rangers, extra, guided tours and all sorts of events, and not just the national parks, but all of the subdivisions, all the little monuments and everything like that. So go online at NPS
.gov, NPS.gov, yeah.
And I think there's an NPS.org also, which I think is the Friends of the National Park System. Find out what's going on around you or someplace else that you want to go to. Now, a great idea, and I'm not the first to suggest this this year, but is in Utah, if you fly out of basically Salt Lake City, you got about five national parks all within a loop there, Zion, Bryce, you know, if you want to do the Southwest thing. On the flip side, the big names, you know, like Yosemite and Yellowstone are booking up solid. They're that reverse magnet thing. I would stay away from them this year and just, you know, maybe try some place you haven't been, that sort of thing.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Okay. Let me ask you, first of all, where are you going to go this year?
Well, you know, where am I going to go and where I'd like to go are two different things.
Where are you going to go?
Probably nowhere.
Southern California, you're going to troll around that
area? I have to force myself, and my wife and I talk about this a lot. We've gotten into kind of a zone where we haven't really planned a vacation in some time, and it's starting to dawn on us that, hey, wait a minute, we do need a vacation.
Yeah, you do. As somebody who, you know, that was that is my career, and I've had to cut back on my own, I really miss, you know, the road. And the road clears you out, and it makes you appreciate everything about being back home.
Now, so, I do like the road. There's a lot to be said about hopping on a plane and getting picked up by a shuttle and dropped at a fancy hotel and then taking a tour. But I like the road. I like wide open spaces. I prefer seeing an area that I don't have to deal with a lot of people or a lot of man-made structures.
This is the time
you're talking about
that,
Texas, or, Phil.
Yeah, Texas, Montana, Wyoming, or there are all sorts of places, you know.
Yeah. What I think is, if you're talking about a great time right now, if you want to get right off the dime, this is a great time of year to start heading out to the Southwest. You know, go out through, you know, if you're in L.A., which I know is where you're based.
Yeah.
Go out, you know, through Palm Springs and down through into Arizona and, you know, spring training and Tombstone and Carlsbad Caverns and all the way down to, like, you know, Texas. It's a great time of year for the road, you know, Route 66, all the other ones, wonderful time of year. And then, yes, flip side is I wouldn't start until the late spring, but Montana, Wyoming, you use some of those high country roads, you know, the going to heaven road or whatever they call it, going to heaven road.
I have to go to Hewlett, Wyoming and ask the mayor for the key to the city.
You should.
And then take a hike over to, what is it, Devil's Plateau. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think it's Devil's Post Pile. Isn't that the one from Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe you can make a big mud one in your living room.
Devil's Tower.
You know, first, like that. Yeah, I could go to Gary, Indiana and ask for the key to the city, but I think the key to the city's already been stolen.
Right. Now, how about you, Chris? You want to go somewhere this year, or what's your plan?
Well, I'd like to go to New York City because I've never been there, and it's one of those places in the United States where you have to go. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
it's great.
You agree
great
with that, Gary? You have to go to New York City?
I lived there for a year. I met my wife. I got my journalism degree there. Best single year of my life was my 1 year in New York City. I don't know if I could live there, you know, full time. I don't have the money for one thing. But it's a fantastic place, and everybody should go there once. It is the American dream place. It used to be the American nightmare, but it's really cleaned up its act. It's a great spot.
Yeah. All right. I have an idea for you, and this is courtesy of one of our listeners. And perhaps you could speak a little to it now, but in the context of today's topic. But
sure.
But for the future, and this might require some research. We have a listener who is in Montevideo, Uruguay. Now, I don't know if you've been to Montevideo.
I have not actually been to Montevideo, but I know of Montevideo. That's where the German pocket battleship, Nazi battleship, Graf Spee, was chased all the way down there by the English, and it went into Montevideo. The captain got off the ship, wrapped himself in a Nazi flag, and shot himself in the head. So there's Montevideo.
Yeah, this is why I love having you on the show. You have all this trivial information.
Great,
it's valuable
Uruguay,
stuff.
Great country. Great
now,
country.
Now, the reason I bring it up, and courtesy of Marcelo, who's our listener in Montevideo, he says Montevideo has a sister city in Minnesota, of all places. And it struck me that there have to be a bunch of just ridiculous pairings of sister cities in the United States and other parts of the world.
There are, and you can find them online, and I used to write about them. Some places are not very creative, like San Clemente, California is basically sister city with, I think, like 14 different other San Clementes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a guy who's been to all of them.
Yeah.
You find some, you know, usually they try to find some sort of tie-in, a port, or, you know, they have some sort of business or industry that they had at one time. And you know, when you get to kind of below the first tier, you know, where, you know, Tokyo is with, you know, New York and stuff like that, you get some interesting pairings, you know. Yeah. I went to Irvine, California, sister city, which was a suburban city outside of Tokyo, and it was great.
Yeah.
You know?
And is it called Irvine, Japan?
That may be what it's called in
Japanese.
It was called Tsukuba, and they had a rail line that went, it was a bedroom community, just like Irvine, a rail line that went from downtown Tokyo. The only stop was in Tsukuba, and you got there, very modern, except they had a great 16th century Buddhist temple.
Yeah, how about that? Where are you going to go 2016?
Well, you know, I'm still kind of looking around on some things. Being up here in Eugene, I'm looking for a little bit of, I think, warm weather. I know I'm going down to Arizona for a part of spring training. I just can't miss that. And beyond that, I really – last year was the first year in a very, very, very long time that I did not get to Hawaii.
It's been raining It's been raining cats, dogs, and small horses for most of the day here today. And from the moment we put you on the program, the sky opened up, the sun is shining, and I'm looking for a rainbow. There's probably one out there, and I just want to let you know that you're looking for warm weather. Perhaps we can see you down here in the studio in 2016 for once.
I would love that. It seems like the El Nino is not working out so well. We're getting all your rain, you know. So, but yeah, it's Southern California isn't exactly liquid sunshine like on Maui, but you know, you guys can use it if you don't get it to be too much. But get out there. One of the things with the rain, the wildflowers are going to be fantastic out
in the desert.
Yep.
In the Mojave, or would you go to another desert?
I'd go to Anza Borrego down in, which is on the San Diego, eastern San Diego, Imperial County line.
Good to know.
Awesome place.
Beautiful. Gary Warner, you're beautiful, man. I love you.
I am, man. I am just so bitching.
We'll
anyway,
talk.
And you are too. And we're going to have a great 2016, and we'll have lots of stuff to talk about down the line. I want to get more into this national park thing.
Good.
50th anniversary of the Super Bowl coming up.
Yeah.
And a lot of other silly stuff. So
beautiful.
You have a great day.
Yes.
And a great 2016.
Thank you, Gary. Talk to you again soon.
Take care.
All right. There he goes. So you got the travel lust yet, the wanderlust? You ready to go somewhere?
I'm with you in the fact that I don't think 2016 is going to be a big travel year for me. But, I mean, I have the list put together. I'll pretty much go anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, right. Okay.
If the opportunity presents itself and it's not too financially burdening.
Very good. You know, I'm always horrified to realize that things come out of my mouth that should not otherwise come out of my mouth.
For example?
And thanks to my wife, who corrects me. And I'm the arbiter of correction on this show. When you say something wrong, I try to correct you.
You do a good job of that.
But you're never correcting me, and perhaps it's because you know your place.
That's right.
But my wife, on the other hand, will correct me any minute of the day. And earlier I said, when we were talking about livers, and I said that, if your liver goes bad, you'll need dialysis. And she said, no, silly. She didn't write it in the text here, but she meant to call me an idiot. I'm sure she did, because I was an idiot, because you need dialysis when you have kidney disease, not liver disease. Kidneys is when you have the dialysis.
You know, it is possible that dialysis is used to clean out both of those organs, only because I'm thinking, don't both of those organs filter urine?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
I'm in line for another text if I answer that question.
I think both of those help filter the water from your system.
All right.
Kidneys, liver.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. We got a lot to pack into our final segment, including why it's our artists upset with Old Navy. Stanford, I don't know what to say. And where are Americans moving to? And a whole bunch of other things. I hope we get to all of it. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, people migrate. They leave. They live in a place and they say, screw it, we're out of here. Oregon and South Carolina were the two states people moved to last year at the highest rate. New Jersey and New York had the highest rates of people moving out. And it has to do with a lot of things, economy, tax rates, that sort of thing. So the top 10 states with the highest move-in rates were Oregon, South Carolina, Vermont, Idaho, North Carolina, Florida, Nevada, Texas, Washington, Arizona. That's where people are going. People are not going. The worst move-in rates, New Jersey, New York, Illinois, Connecticut, Ohio, Kansas, Massachusetts, West Virginia, Mississippi, and Maryland. People not moving in or perhaps even moving out. So
those all sound like expensive places to live, the places that people were moving out of,
yeah,
and sound like more spacious and affordable places to live where people were moving into.
Yeah, sounds like it. All right. Now, what has Old Navy done to upset artists?
Well, they put out a T-shirt that upset artists, and they've since removed it. But it's actually a T-shirt for toddlers, so it's just a little tiny baby shirt. And the shirt featured the saying, young, aspiring artist.
Yeah.
But the word artist is crossed out and replaced with professions like astronaut and president.
Oh, well, I think every parent would probably appreciate that.
I agree with you. And I think that that's the angle that they were taking, the comedic angle they were taking. But comments from defensive artists poured in on social networking sites, wondering why Old Navy would discourage kids from becoming artists and why they don't credit artistry as a respectable profession.
Yeah. These artists were all at coffee houses where they were able to use the Wi-Fi for free because they don't have it at home. Is that correct?
They were working on that script they've been working on for the last 7 years at Starbucks while they had that half-price latte because they got there early.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay.
Just kidding.
Now,
artists are fine.
Did you watch the Tournament of Roses parade on New Year's Day?
I did.
Oh, I love it. And it was the last one out here in Southern California, and I don't know if they're on the program nationally. Maybe Mike Stark, you can confirm this, but the host and hostess of the show on the local channel here, Channel 5, KTLA, Bob Eubanks and Stephanie Rogers. Is that her name? Stephanie Edwards. Stephanie Edwards. Yeah, that's right. They've been doing the show together for some 30 years, and they are just a national treasure. And I don't know if the rest of the nation gets to watch them, but they've been doing it forever. And it was their last show.
That's right.
They announced that they were indeed stepping down, so that Lisa Gibbons and some pretty boy from Entertainment Tonight, I forget his name, Frank Gorshin, was that his name? No. They're taking over. Good choices. They'll be fine. But just the same, I love the parade. I love the floats. But I for one, like the marching bands. I like the fact that they come in their parade dress. They march in regimented lines. And while marching, they play beautiful music. And there's something special about a marching band marching in a parade, in parade dress. But then there's Stanford.
Well, we might be on slightly separate pages here, too, because the incident that I'm going to be talking about that Stanford is related to happened at the Rose Bowl, which is a football game.
Yeah.
The Rose Bowl, and it happened at halftime. So there's a possibility that Stanford band or a portion of Stanford band was also at the Parade of Roses, which I was just kidding when I said I watched it. I've only seen a portion of it.
Yeah.
But they probably had representatives there as well. I mean, they're all...
Well, let me just tell you, and I'll abbreviate it. They came out in fishing hats and grubbies, and they were not in any kind of regimented line, and they were just trying to kind of playing disoriented music that didn't sound to have any kind of polish. And to me, it was disrespectful for the 100-plus years of the Tournament of Roses and to the fans. Maybe Stanford students and fans enjoyed it, but I think, by and large, it was a slap in the face to the tradition and the history that has marching bands in the parade in the first place. And so I thought it was bad.
Well, and if you think that was bad, you're going to think that this was really bad, because the Stanford marching band, or a portion of it, because the football team has made it to the Rose Bowl for the third time in the last 4 years.
That's good.
That means that the band gets to perform at halftime, and for the third time in 4 years, their band pissed off most of the nation.
Yeah. What'd they do?
Well, they wore mismatched outfits, walked around without a ton of coordination, brought out a cow, and played the theme song from FarmersOnly.com. Some would say a gaffe to the team they were playing against, which is Iowa.
Wow.
Who they were dominating 35-0 at halftime before putting on this display of
I don't even know what farmersonly.com is.
You don't know what farmersonly.com is? It's basically where farmers get together to date.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it portrays sort of out-of-shape farmers, gentleman farmer running into these beautiful women because they go on to farmersonly.com.
Yeah, it's a joke.
It is a joke. Although they meant it to be funny, they think that Iowa and most of the nation didn't really appreciate it because the game was such a blowout, which is possible. They thought they were being funny.
Who would win in a war, California or Iowa? Oh, now, hold on a second.
Population alone.
Northern California or all of Iowa? Because there clearly are two Californias.
There are, and Northern California is pretty laid back. They're pretty almost hippie-ish, I want to say, or hipster-ish.
Is the word whacked appropriate?
Sure. Yeah, whatever adjective you want to use to help to describe hipsters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they might be a little bit more docile, to whereas Iowans, they're going to fight for it.
Yeah. All right. So you want to send your kid to Stanford? Whatever.
If you want them to get a good education, I heard they have that up there as well.
Woman in Indianapolis complained on Facebook after someone died at a New Year's Eve party. She complained because then a server brought her check late.
Hmm. Do you have how the complaint went? Do you have the quote?
Let's see.
I hope it's in there.
Having our meal ruined by watching a dead person being wheeled out from an overdose, my night has been ruined.
I wonder if she's being funny.
She's.
There's really no way to approach that situation.
She's introducing ridicule, and hopefully people can't find her location there on Facebook. Mm-hmm. New study found that mommy's kisses don't actually heal boo-boos. And those words are straight from the scientists who ran the study. In fact, they found that kids felt worse than kids who didn't have anyone intervene.
So you're saying it's better off just tell them to suck it up?
Yeah. What's the matter with you crying?
Mm-hmm. You want a little dirt bottle, you baby?
Yeah. Come on, get up, walk around, like my dad told me.
Shake it off.
When I broke my leg in half and laid in the driveway for an hour before he took me to the hospital.
Right.
You're fine, get up.
What's that sticking out of your leg?
Yeah, just a flesh wound. Hey, thanks for listening to the program. That's it for this one. We love your comments. Go to philhewlettandfriends.com, click on the contact page, fill out the form, or find us on Twitter at Faf Show. We're on Facebook as well. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who his New Year's resolution is to always already messed up on it. Okay, fine. Hey, for Chris, for all the friends, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.